Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is Master Sunday, 4:14. Shout out Andrew Parchment. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But Richie, how's your weekend been?
Good. I've just been on the couch literally all weekend watching the Masters. You know, it looked like things were going to get pretty exciting on the front nine today with four players tied at six under. And then everyone kind of made mistakes. But Scotty just made the mistakes that didn't cost him nearly as much as guys like Homa and some of the other ones. So unfortunate that it wasn't more exciting down the end, but a dominant back nine by Scotty winning his second green jacket. And also shout out to Vern Lundquist calling his final Masters. And it was also Tiger's 100th round at the Masters. So a lot of history today.
Yeah, good stuff. I didn't watch much. I was in Tallahassee this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later, some stick sports that were going on. I did see Coach Bond. She had texted me that it was really hard to break away from the couch as well. But yeah, she said, hey, look up to your right. I'm up here. And so I waved to her at the softball game last night. So anyway, let's jump into it. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit all three of their locations, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, and 2870 Appalachie Parkway. Make sure that you get your gut boxes, double fries, no slaw. Richie, let's talk a little bit tonight about the spring game weekend coming up, maybe some practice updates. The Battles End is doing some cool stuff. The transfer portal opens up. We're also going to talk a little bit about the stick sports that we saw this weekend and, of course, relive our favorite 414 moments in history. So fun episode tonight. If you are listening, do us a favor and hit that subscribe button. We push a lot of stuff over to YouTube, so if you're not subscribed there, there will be a link in the description. You can go check that out. Richie, practice seems to be going pretty well for the Seminoles so far through spring. A minor scare the other day. Florida State put out a press release that somebody was injured pretty badly, had to be taken to the hospital. From what I've heard, all good there. Florida State even said that player was released. I got a lot of questions about that. Like, if that's a normal thing that they would always just say when and why that happens. I don't think so. I don't think Florida State like wants to update every time there's a serious medical injury or anything like that. I think that there were a lot of people at this practice, and so they kind of had to say something. It was also just a busy weekend on campus with several sporting events going on, and so I think a lot of people saw the ambulance pull up. It was at a time of day that a lot of people were around, and so that's why I think they had to do it to kind of answer that question. I think if this is a random Tuesday at 9 a.m., maybe they don't put out a statement, but I think because of people were aware and kind of knew what was going on, it was a big deal. But thanks be to God that everybody was safe and healthy. You know, anytime that you're getting rushed to the hospital, you kind of think like, well, that's not a leg, that's like a head, neck, shoulder, area type injury, and so could obviously been much worse than it was. So good stuff there. But yeah, I that's all I've really got on that. But otherwise, outside of that, practice seems to be going really well. So I figured that we'd get questions there. So just figured, at least try and mention a little bit about it. But practice seems to be going well. It all kind of starts at quarterback, Richie, and DJU seems to continue to be progressing. And I think I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, man. I think I'm buying all the hype.
Yeah, that's, we're hearing only positive things, really. He came in here, had to learn a playbook that's hard to do in 15 practices. So he's only going to take a larger step in fall camp when he has a full month of practice and a full offseason of working with Mike Norvell, watching film. I love that when DJ came to visit Tallahassee, he didn't want to see the facilities or anything like that. He wanted to watch film with Coach Norvell and get his thoughts on how he would fit in this offense. And, that's the type of mindset he's bringing into this team. Then that's a leader right there. And it sounds like his practice has shown that he is taking to the offense pretty well so far. He has a lot of weapons, which is really exciting. Sounds like he's going to have a decent protection up front. But yeah, DJU is a very exciting prospect. I cannot wait to see what he looks like in Dublin.
Yeah, I'm we'll talk about the spring game here in just a minute. But I'm excited to see him this weekend and kind of see what that looks like. Lawrence Toafili, another name that, continues to be brought up. I think Florida State really likes what it has at running back. There were some questions around wide receiver. They had a case of the drops in the first scrimmage. And so I've heard that a lot of that has been cleaned up. I mean, there's still, I think, some concerns. I don't know if this team has a bona fide wide receiver one. I saw Hakeem out at the baseball game the other night, and I really like, you know, kind of the weight that he's put on, and, you know, the before and after pictures of where he's at right now are pretty impressive. But I don't know that the team has that. We'll talk about the portal opening up here in just a moment as well. But I think that you could use a Keon or a Johnny, right? And we'll see if one of those enters the portal or not. We'll talk about the portal at some point. But what is your biggest concern? For me, on offense, it's probably wide receiver. But would you echo that, or do you have another concern on offense?
I would think so, just because, you know, you have a lot of could be wide receiver ones, but what you really have is a bunch of twos. If you can have one of those guys step up to be that Johnny or that Keon, you know, last year you were spoiled with two ones. Now you have a bunch of twos. So it'll be interesting to see. Hakeem, I think, definitely has that potential. Other guys that you know, I'm looking out for, you know, the transfers from Alabama and LSU. How are they going to settle in? You know, we have a ton of speed. Sounds like Jalen Lucas is just a shoots out of a cannon.
Demon, yeah.
But he's not a wide receiver one candidate, you know, just given to physical limitations. So I kind of agree with you with that. Running backs, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they like what they have, but I'm not sure you have a true RB1. You know, Tua Philly is going to be very reliable. You know, we saw that in that Louisville game when he had to step up, he did. But it's a long season. You need to, you know, at least three, preferably four very reliable running backs. Do you think we're there right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think running back is in a really good spot. I also think that running back is a position that, like, Mike Norvell has always done a phenomenal job True. With. And I, you know, I like Tua Philly a lot. I like Roydell. I like what a lot of these guys have, and so I'm really excited for what that running back room can and will look like. And I think we're in really good shape there. Offensive line, you know, I don't know. I don't think the offensive line is going to be elite by any means. I think it could be really good, and maybe even a step forward from where it was last year. Defensively, my biggest concerns probably are still linebacker and defensive line depth. Like, I like the first four on defensive line, like with Marvin Jones Jr., Fisk and Jackson, other side with Pat Payton. I like Turner. I like a lot of the guys on the but like depth is probably what worries me the most on the defensive line, and then just linebacker in general. You know, I like Lundy. I like Murphy. Good things out of Nicholson here and there. Crier, good things here and there. But, like, mm-hmm. Is that unit going to be good enough to really, you know, they were one of the better linebacker units in the conference last year. I don't know that they're going to be talked about in the top five, you know, this year.
Yeah.
So that worries me a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that can only be confirmed by, you know, the way, as far as Mike Norvell and Adam Fuller, willing to take DJ Lundy back after the way he left, I think says a lot. Yeah. Because if they felt really good where they were at, I don't think they would have brought him back in that situation. So I think, to me, that was them saying, yeah, we're not happy with what we have collectively at the linebacker unit. So it's definitely a concern. Not worried about the secondary at all. To your point, not worried about the front four on the defensive line. I think, you know, Farmer Jackson inside is just a nasty, nasty defensive tackles duo to have to deal with for opposing offensive lines. So, you know, linebacker, I hate that we have to keep agreeing here, but, you know, that's clearly the biggest concern. And that's not saying they're going to be terrible or anything by any means. You just don't feel really good about them being, you know, maybe in the top half of the league.
So from there, let's talk a little bit about the spring game this weekend. I won't rehash this. If you are in town or anywhere close to Tallahassee, you should go, because you should go and support the team and the program, and you're not going to do anything else, you know, you might do something else on 420 that you really enjoy, but you're not going to do anything else that exciting, like by sitting home and watching, you know, the NBA playoffs or whatever. So shout out to the Lakers that snuck in today. And your Magic. Yeah, your Magic.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Won the Southeast.
The Lakers would be like the four seed in the East. I hate the East so much. So, all right, nobody tuned in for that. But the Battle's End is doing some really cool stuff this weekend, yeah. Richie. I don't know if you've seen that, but listen, we've begged you guys to be Battle's End members all year. If you're going to be in Tallahassee, you certainly need to be. They're doing their meet and greet. Last year, they did it for free. You got to, like, sample, and the line was absurd. So this year, it is for members. You can go and meet all the players. Every player that they have signed will be there before the game, signing autographs, hanging out. I'm really excited for people to be able to enjoy that. It was insane last year. The spring game will be very focused on the Battle's End. There's an event on Friday night beforehand. You can go to their, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, their website, thebattlesend.com, and learn more about the event on Friday night at, is it the Moon? Is that, did yes. I, do you remember that correctly? With Mike Norvell there. I don't know of many coaches in the country that support and endorse their collectives as openly as Mike Norvell does. I know they all want their collectives to do really well so they can recruit well, but it's pretty impressive to see all that happen. So that all kicks off the spring game weekend, and then you get to the spring game on Saturday, spring showcase, I think they call it, because it's not really a game. And I'm excited to see DJ and some of these guys out there. Excited to see who steps up, who's running with ones, who's out there, who's not. I think it's gonna be a fun couple of hours from my couch. I'm not going, but for you guys that are close, I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, just to echo that, I've talked to several people who have been to these Battle's End events, and they really are first class productions. Never heard anyone complain about the way they do it. They know what they're doing, and like TJ said, every player that's signed, you can go on their website and see they will be there. Great chance to meet and interact with the players and Coach Norvell, so definitely would suggest that. And one thing we didn't mention that I'm excited to see is how Luke and Brock look. You know, that battle for QB2, you know, Brock, I think, has a firm grasp on it right now. But Luke, seeing how he looks after just, you know, a couple weeks on campus, he has all the physical tools. But, you know, the quarterback room future is pretty bright right now, I'd say. Now, granted, we have the portal, obviously. Odds are you're not going to keep both of them their entire time. But it's good to have good options.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's a good point to transition that over to the portal. We're going to talk about where Florida State may look, where maybe they may lose some positions in the portal. But first, we'll start with this news. Greedy transfers out. Greedy Vance announced, he hasn't officially done it yet because the portal window hasn't opened. Actually, if you're watching this today, it may be open. But announced his intention to transfer out. He probably, this is not a shot, probably got passed up by Earl Little. I heard that was a pretty good battle at Nickelback. And so I am a little surprised to see him go, but I've kind of heard some things. I think he wants to play, you know, a little bit more of a starting role. It's his last year. I think it makes sense for him to go. I think Florida State certainly would have liked to keep him. He's a good football player. I don't think that Florida State's like, oh yeah, we really need to get rid of Greedy Vance. I think they'd really like to have him here, but does it make sense for him to go somewhere and be able to play a little bit more? People have pointed to LSU as maybe an option. Obviously, their secondary is just dog crap. So might make sense to go kind of back close to home. I think he would start there at nickel corner. So I don't know. I haven't heard anything on LSU. Like, that's not like inside info, but I think it's a place that could make sense. I think he's that caliber. I think he could play nickel for an SEC team, especially an SEC team. Like, I don't think he'll play for Georgia, but an SEC team that is not, you know, very good in the secondary. You know, for DBU, they certainly haven't played like it for the last few years. So stinks to see him go, but it's one that makes sense, and it's what's going to continue to happen in this portal era. Like that, you know, this would not be a problem 7 or 8 years ago. This is going to continue to happen. If you've got a couple of guys that are older, more advanced, you know, like Greedy was a really good player for Florida State for a few years, and I think they've kind of continued to raise the ceiling of the talent they're bringing in, and you know, writing's kind of on the wall at that point.
Yeah, and you know, shout out Greedy. He came on this podcast and spent some time with us. Really nice guy. But to your point, he is a Power 5 starter. Is he a Power 5 starter at Florida State? Answer to that, I don't know. I think if he had stuck it out through fall and had an amazing fall camp, he probably could have earned the starting position. But maybe he just wants, you know, a little more certainty that he is going to be starting for somewhere else. And like you said, he's going to have options. You know, he is a good player, and it stinks that you lose him because you can never have too much depth at any position. But if he wanted to be guaranteed a starting job, I'm sure Adam Fulda probably said, I can't guarantee that right now. He may have said, you know, work through fall camp, but by then it's too late if you do decide to transfer. So don't blame him at all for seeing what his options are right now. Again, good player. He's going to start somewhere. He could start at several top 25 programs. And I think he'll find a landing spot, and hopefully it's one that works out for him.
I hope he doesn't, but he could start it in any state.
As long as it's not on our schedule.
But I was going to say, I hope he doesn't, but he could start at any school within the state of Florida. I'll say that. You know, might be minus Florida State. So, I don't think he'll be the only one. I think other guys will end up going. I've heard some names, and just, I don't know. I feel like reporting on like names that you've heard is always weird because then they end up staying and then they hate you. But I think that you could see. I think you could see wide receiver be a position that you lose a guy or two or three from. I think there's like 10 plus. I think there's more than 10 or 11 scholarship wide receivers, and I might even be underselling that based on where they like have Lucas and Douglas, you know, positioned at. So anyway, it's pretty high, and so I've heard of some wide receiver names that you could see. I've heard of some defensive line names that you could see. Florida State brought in some defensive line guys.
Always the defensive line, TJ.
Man, I'm telling you, I don't worry about any of the big time defensive line. I'm not nervous about any of the stuff. I mean, you never know, right? Like, you'll see how the next couple of days go. But yeah, if we, I've heard about some defensive line stuff that could happen, and I think it's just kind of like, again, you've recruited over the ceiling now. Like and you may want to bring. We'll talk about what they may look for in the portal window opening. Defensive line is one that I could see. I could see some secondary. I don't think it's like a guaranteed thing, but I think you could see some secondary. I think you could see running back, you know, there's a lot there. So maybe lower down on the depth chart, I think you could see some stuff like that. So anyway, all that said, I there's nobody that's like, no, this might have already happened. We might have to put this out early on Monday morning because there may be people that jump in that we're not expecting, but there's nobody right now that I'm like, oh no, we got to hold on to this person. Like, we've had the Farmer and Jackson and Peyton stuff year after. I'll just call a spade. We've had that year after year after year. Like, I'm not worried about that very much. I'm not worried about some superstar offensive line, you know, running back, wide receiver, any of that stuff this cycle. Now, if that happens, it happens. We'll address it when it does. But I'm not nervous about the portal window opening as far as players leaving. Anybody you're concerned about? Anybody you want to go on record and say you think they're out?
No, I won't say, but I will say this. Honestly, there's probably not a single player on the roster that would absolutely just completely blow me away because of the NIL and the portal, this era where now you can transfer basically as many times as you want. You don't have to worry about sitting out. That kept a lot of kids at schools that may have looked to go elsewhere. And you have programs that have decent NIL or, you know, a big booster or two, the Tyson's Chicken guy got a standing ovation at a Arkansas basketball or game for bringing in the Calipari. No, was it Calipari?
Yeah.
Like the man, the Tyson Chicken guy got a standing ovation. If you have money like that, some people like that in some collectives may be willing to massively overspend for compared to what you value a player at. And if that's just the case, then, you know, so be it. I could see a team like Miami going all in on one or two guys and saying, hey, we'll double whatever the battle doesn't pay you. Or, you know, Ole Miss has a very, very strong collective, you know, and we know tampering happens. Like, it is the wild, wild west. You know, they already have an offer before they enter the portal, most of these players, if it comes down to money. And I'm not saying it comes down to money with everybody, but I'm telling you, if a company, you know, down in Miami said, hey, I'll give you the exact same job you have now, but I'll double your salary. Well, I'm going to go to my boss and say, hey, this is my offer. What can you do? And, you know, that's just part real world. And that's what we're dealing with. So again, nobody off the top of my head, maybe one or two that I think might go, but again, no one would absolutely shock me at this point.
Yeah. Nobody, nothing that I'm like super worried about. As far as looking for positions, I think it's some of the same positions we just mentioned, right? Yeah. Like, not, your weaknesses. You know, yeah, you're going to want to go and replace talent at a higher level. And so I've been told pretty explicitly, like, don't be surprised if they go out and try and find more defensive tackles. I think they like what they have with Farmer and Jackson a ton. I don't know that they love, you know, as much as Florida State loves to rotate, there you don't want there to be a drop off, and that's what you kind of had last year with Fabo and Fisk and Farmer, and then other guys rotating there. Like, can you do that again and not have a drop off? Well, right now, like, the drop off from Farmer and Jackson is there, right? And so, can you find another defensive tackle that can kind of fit into that and do? I don't know that you're going to find a Braden Fisk, but can you find somebody like that who is willing to come in and rotate and understand, like, hey, you're not going to be in every down, but like, you're going to play a lot and we're going to win a lot of games with you. I think the same thing exists for defensive end. They brought in a couple of defensive ends, and I think Marvin Jones Jr. ends up earning a starting spot. I think the other defensive ends are, I don't necessarily know they make massive impacts this year. We'll see. That early returns are, they may not, you know, maybe great for FSU down the road, may not. But I don't know, you know, we'll see. Florida State attacks after the defensive end position, then I don't think they're comfortable with what they've got right now. If they don't go after the defensive end position, then maybe they are comfortable with it. We mentioned wide receiver one, Richie. I think if you could find another Johnny or Keon or somebody like that, you absolutely go after it. Yeah. I think they've got a lot of really nice wide receivers. I like Hakeem. I like Destin. I like Jaylen Brown a lot. I like Ja'Kai Douglas. I like Jaylen Lucas. I like a lot Kentron and Darion. We'll see, you know, if anybody from that massive group, Deucepan, anybody from that massive group that I just mentioned of a billion guys leaves. And then you brought in like four freshmen too that are really good. And so you got Alldae Dre. There's a lot of talent in that room. But they're all kind of like twos, threes, fours, you know? And so can you find a number one? And then same thing at offensive line and linebacker. I don't think you're necessarily like, we got to have an offensive line or got to have a linebacker. But if the right guy enters, if the right guy is there, if there's a Tatum Bethune or a Sean Murphy, then I think you go out and you get it, right? I don't think you're reaching right now. I don't think you're taking on another project at offensive line, a guy you got to take 3 years to develop or a linebacker you got to take 2 or 3 years to develop. But if you can find somebody that is a difference maker at those two positions, then I think you go ahead and pull the plug and pull the trigger, maybe is a better word, and go get them.
Yeah, and I think it's almost like a professional offseason style, right? We just talked about an NIL and the portal. You know, does Mike Norvell get with Derek Ray and say, hey, you know, Clemson looks like they're going to be really good at this. Who can we find to try and counter that? You know, if you're in the NFL, everyone in the AFC is saying, what can we do to combat what the Chiefs are doing? What position do we need to give us the best chance? I feel like that's almost where you're at now. You have to look at your toughest games on the schedule and say, what do they do well? And does it make sense to bring someone in that we could think could help us even for just that one game within our scheme? You know, it's actually really interesting. You know, Derek Ray looks like he has a really fun job, but very frustrating job at times as well.
Yeah. I saw you. I don't remember the publication that gave it to him, but he won GM of the year. So hats off to him for winning that. But yeah, stressful job for sure. Like managing this, because in the NFL, listen, not to get off the portal tangent, but like in the NFL, you can't leave year after year after year. Like that's what college football has to fix. Like nobody, like I'm all for the players having the freedom. And I know there have been coaches who have like left year after year, like Willie. Remember, it was at USF, then Oregon, then Florida State in 3 years, right? And left on his own volition. Now I know he's only at Florida State for 2 years and then went to FAU, but that wasn't his choosing, right? Like, you know, he didn't want to leave Florida State at that moment. And so I get that. And maybe the number is two. I don't know what it is. But like in the NFL, you can't do this. People are like, oh, the NFL, you this can do that. And honestly, coaches can't do it either. Like a coach would not leave a job 4 years in a row. Right? Like that's not realistic. Now, could a coach? I mean, I guess he could. But like when would that ever realistically happen? Right? Like when even the Willie doing it 3 years in a row is, well, Willie really was just two. He transferred twice if you think about it like that. And so I don't know, man. Like doing it three times, like to me, I don't even think that's like, that's just not realistic. You know, a job wouldn't let, you know, like there's non-competes, there's different things. Coaches wouldn't do it because of the buyouts that you have to pay when you are leaving. I don't know. I think they need to fix this stuff.
Yeah, and I think the only way you fix it is by making them employees. And then to your point, you could have a no-compete. Say, okay, we own your employment rights for 2 years.
Yeah.
You can leave if you want, but you're not going to go work somewhere else during that time. You can enroll, but you're not going to play. Or even be strict enough to say, no, you can't enroll. This school owns your scholarship rights for 2 years. But again, to your point with coaches, they don't have that. You know, there's no way to say that. There's just massive buyouts. So it's Cultural just truly is so unique in how they operate. But as long as these kids are considered student athletes and not employees, that you're really hamstrung as to what you can do. And I know there's a lot people a lot smarter than me who follow the, you know, the politics of it and the Supreme Court cases and hearings in Congress and all that. So I'll just, whatever it is, you know, just roll with it for now.
we'll just keep it in their hands. But yeah, hopefully it gets fixed somewhat, because it is kind of insane at this point. So all right, let me give Garnet & Gold some love. GarnetandGold.com. I was up there this weekend. If you're going up for the spring game, or if you're sitting at home and not going to the spring game, maybe do a little online shopping at Garnet & Gold so you can look good on your couch. They're renovating the Pensacola Street location. It looks great. They're getting some stuff in there now. Got a little bit more to do on the outside, but went by Governor Square because there's a little bit more out over there. GarnetandGold.com. Use our code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, for 15% off. NOSLAW, NOSLAW. Make sure that you're shopping at the number one place to get your FSU merchandise, gear, apparel, jerseys, whatever you're looking for, GarnetandGold.com. If you're in town, make sure you go by there this weekend. Richie, 414. Tell us, I'll let you do this. Tell us a little about the two fourth and 14s that stick out to you, and let's talk about them.
Yeah, so we have the, everyone knows Ricks to Sam, which was an iconic play in school history. We had Chris Ricks on here to talk about that. But before that, there was a fourth and 14 when Ricks found Dominic Robinson across the middle to set up the Ricks to Sam a few plays later. And then obviously everyone remembers much more recent, Florida State ends a losing streak to Miami with Andrew Parchment catching a fourth and 14, taking it down to the goal line from Jordan Travis. And then Jordan Travis sneaks it in. I think it took two or three tries, but both of those games are losses to rivals. Without that fourth and 14, there's no doubt about it. Just considering when in the game they happened, I think it's pretty crazy that your two biggest rivals you have completed fourth and 14s against, and that resulted in winning a game, because I'm sure there's a fourth and 20 that you have completed against Florida State back in the height of the rivalry in the 90s, when both teams were in the top 10 every time they played, but maybe they lost that game, or maybe they won by multiple scores. So I just think it's really unique. Shout out Sinone. He's the one who put out the fourth and 14 tweet, so I don't want to make him think like I'm stealing his idea. But I saw that and it got me thinking, which of those two is your favorite fourth and 14? Because they're both different just when that they happened, as far as what year, and it's two separate rivals.
So I remember the Ricks to Sam game probably being the game that I got the most excited about as a kid watching. I was 13, if that was 2003. And I remember, like, we were putting up the Christmas tree, always did that like the Saturday after Christmas. So I don't know. I remember that play. Like, I got more hyped for that as a kid than anything else. Right. And so even the national championship in 99, like we were winning by like 20, you know, like even when P-Dub caught that, like I think we were up by 15 when he caught that kind of crazy cut touchdown. So I don't know. Even with that though, like you still had to have like a 50-yard bomb, you know, like you, to me that fourth and 14 was big, but I still wasn't like, oh, we've got this game done. Like there was like when Parchment caught it, like it, that was, you knew you were winning the game at that point, because he goes down, and it was perfect too, because he goes down to the one, and if he had gotten in the end zone, Miami would have had a good amount of time left. It was also like we dominated Florida like in the early 2000, you know, before Tebow, you know, like we were great against them, like, you know, one in 98, one in 99, one in 2000, lost 2001. Like we were pretty good against Florida. Like this ended a streak against Miami. So I hate the recency bias. I was also there for the Miami game. I'm going to say the Andrew Parchment is my favorite.
Yeah, I hate to agree with you, but I think I do, because of what it meant for Mike Norvell, right, and what we're in now. So, that, again, that plays to the recency bias. But that game, I think he's 25-5 at Florida State since that game. You know, you lose to that game, you still had a losing record that season. You're talking about, are you on the hot seat heading into next year? Obviously, he finished the year very strong. And then the following year happened, ending with the Oklahoma Bowl game. But I think, you know, what I love about rivalry games is your casual Florida State fan 5 years from now probably has no idea who Andrew Parchment is if you mention him to that person. But if, you know, they watch enough football, they're going to say, oh, that's the guy from the Miami game. Yeah. Just like, you know, Dominic Robinson was a really, really good tight end. You know, he was, that wasn't, you know, fluky by any means. And it, look, there's no shame losing to a really good Gator team in the Swamp. So if that happens, you know, it still would have sucked. But I think that Miami game, it just meant more for the program in its current state, because that game for Florida State, you know, that was the end of the, you know, that was the start of the lost decade, basically. And, it, you know, it, Bobby wouldn't be around much longer. But what this Miami game did for Mike Norvell, I think it made a statement. And, you know, he can say, I've never lost a game coaching against Miami when standing on the sidelines. And that's good to say to recruits. So I'm leaning Miami, but it's definitely close, because I remember being a kid. What was that? 2003. I would have been 15 years old. So I remember watching that game pretty well with my dad. And it was exciting. But to your point, the Ricks to Sam is the exciting part of that game. People remember the 4th and 14. Some people probably couldn't tell you who caught the 4th and 14, even if they are a big Florida State fan. But everyone knows Ricks to Sam. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's the Andrew Parchment from Jordan Travis against Miami.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you couldn't, you know, you don't win the game without either one of them. But you still needed, you needed 1 yard after Parchment's play. You needed like 52 after Robinson. So, I'll lean that way as well. Harlan, you can jump in here a little bit. Well, you know, I don't know if we have a slide with three, but either way, Harlan, if you want to do voice only or however you want to do it, it's fine with me. Baseball, with probably one of their best weekends that they've had best weeks total that they've had in a really long time. I saw Nevitt tweet this, but beat Miami and Florida by sweeping both of them for the first time since 1960. Beat the absolute tar out of Florida on Tuesday night. And then on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was up there for two of those Fridays and Saturdays games, beat Miami as well to end up sweeping that series. They won Thursday, they won Friday, they won Saturday. So pretty fun to see. Pretty cool to see them beat the heck out of the Canes and Gators. The first game, I think, was a one-run game. Second game, you won by 4, and the third game, you won by 2. But kind of led the whole time through each of those games, even though Miami kind of made it close a couple of times. You really kind of dominated them, and there's a definite excitement around baseball right now, Richie.
Yeah, I mean, the Lynx got this team playing at a very high level. This team was not good last year, and what he's done, his roster management, I think Florida State's in top 10 in most of the polls, and college baseball is weird because they have like 38 different polls out there. But, you know, just seeing that, that stat that has been since 1960, since they swept both Florida and Miami in the same season, is crazy. But it just shows how significant that was. And that, you know what, Florida State went from, you're hoping they get into the postseason. Now we're going to start talking about potentially hosting a super if they can get a couple more big series wins coming up. Really excited for this baseball team. It looked like that baseball stadium, you know, they're showing them love. I saw they had a watch party outside of the stadium with a big screen. Just really nice to have excitement around the baseball team, because when this team is good and Hauser's rocking, I know it's not the prettiest stadium or, you know, the funnest to look at, but that is an all-time atmosphere for big games. If you host, you know, a team like an LSU in the Supers, that atmosphere is going to be nuts, because it's been years since we've seen that.
Yeah, they said the atmosphere on Tuesday was just like unlike anything they'd ever seen. Like, it had been years and years and years since they had seen anything like that. And, you know, playing a little bit later, some of the games this week, I think, started at like 6 on Thursday and Friday. So they were kind of early day games. People aren't getting off work super early. And Saturday was 2, so it was all daylight. But, you know, Florida starting at 7. And then just really kind of getting it rocking from the start. You know, Florida scores a couple of runs to start it, and then I think we scored 6 in the bottom of the first. The animals were kind of crazy, and everything was insane. They were they had their wiffle ball and tailgate, wiffle ball and tequila tournament out there, which they were out there for like 12 or 14 hours yesterday, sun up to sundown. I don't know, just really exciting, really fun. Kind of gives you a reason to, tune in. Not that Florida State didn't have it. They're really good in a lot of Olympic sports, but it does feel a little bit different when it is baseball that's kind of rocking it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so happy for Link and for the program. Really excited to see. You know, I'm pretty sure that they lose a good bit of their top talent this year, but, you know, let's enjoy this run while we have it.
Moving on, softball also swept. Hey, I've got some softball started kind of slow while we're talking stick sports. I'll keep it on there. Softball has won 13 of the last 14 games. They're also number 11 in RPI now, and they're second in the ACC, just a game behind Duke. So really two games, because Duke has the tiebreaker from winning that series. But they're creeping their way up there. They've got 9 ACC games left. They honestly should win all 9 of them, playing against teams that they're ranked a lot better than. If they go 8-1, they probably won't, but like they could win those 9 games and maybe get the number 1 seed or the ACC champion, regular season championship. And then, you know, if you get the 1 seed, then you avoid 2 and 3, you play the 4 seed and in the tournament. If they finish 9-0, they should beat Alabama State the 2 times they play them, and then they split with the Gators. You know, win one, lose one to a highly ranked team. And then they go find a way to win the ACC in a tournament, right? Such a different setting, playing a different team 3 days in a row. I think they would – I mean, they're definitely going to host a regional at that point. They're probably going to host a regional at this point anyway. But if they could find a way to win the ACC, I think they could be in line to host a super. I think they'd be like – a 7 or 8 seed. Like, I don't think they'd be like super high up, but with an RPI of 11 right now, winning the ACC would look really good. And then they'd be on quite a hot streak. I think they've won 13 of the last 14. If they were to go do that, I think their streak would be something like, man, they've won like 25 of the last like 27 or something like that, like down the stretch. And I think that'd be pretty strong. That'd be pretty strong in the voters' minds. Other teams are going to lose ahead of you because they play each other in tournaments and stuff like that. So I don't know. They started out kind of rough this year, almost fell out of the top 25 at one point. Some polls had them out of the top 25, but softball's making a little bit of a comeback, Richie.
Yeah, not a whole lot to add there. You know, the beginning of the season was very concerning because, you know, we're spoiled as Florida State softball fans because we've never seen anything like that. We have, but not in recent years. We're wondering, okay, what is going on here? And to win 13 of 14, that's a big deal. Having a favorable schedule to end the season. Yeah, go out and, you know, win the ACC championship. And it'd be pretty awesome to have both baseball and softball hosting a super regional.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. They got some work to do to get there for Supers. I think if they can just kind of maintain, they'll certainly host a regional. But Supers will be tougher. They need to continue the win streak, win the ACC, probably beat Florida once, and then need maybe even a little bit more help. But it's been fun to watch them improve, right? Nobody, you know, we are certainly spoiled. To where you have a top 15-ish team right now, and you're like, what in the world's going on? Why are we not top 3? So, but we'll see. If you get hot at the right time, then, you know, see how things work out. So, Richie, any shout-outs before we get out here?
We hit it on at the top of the show, but shout-out Tiger. He set an all-time record for 24 consecutive cuts made at the Masters. Even his down years, when he plays there, he gets to the weekend. And he set the record on the weekend. He played his 100th round. Really cool. Shout out Scotty. He is going to – they don't know if they're going to have a boy or girl. Did you find out, TJ?
I don't know.
Beforehand?
We found out. I thought you meant about him. I was like, I don't know.
No.
Yeah, so we knew every time.
But it's pretty cool. They don't know if it's a boy or girl, but the name will be Augusta either way.
That's epic. I don't have any shout outs. I took my kids up to Tallahassee this weekend and they had a blast. So shout out everybody that helped make that happen and just kind of around. We saw like David Ross and we saw Hakeem and obviously a lot of the softball players and stuff after the games and stuff. So good weekend, good times. And I don't know, hopefully go back up for a regional for one or both of these teams coming up soon. So hey, listen, if you listen to this whole thing, go over to YouTube and check us out on YouTube. We'll post some of these updates and more over there. Appreciate you guys for hanging out tonight. Richie Harlan, we'll talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.